Find Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to begin reading at verse 10. We're going to read through verse 15. So would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? We read about the armor of God, and we are reminded where our strength is. I love this. As you find that scripture, it begins with the word finally. And we realize over these last number of weeks that it says finally, because literally through the first six chapters, he has been telling us what our resources are in God. And then he tells us how to use those resources. And then he says, with all these resources, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong how? Be strong how? You know, listen, it's awful hard when you're in the ocean and somebody says, well, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know what? You cannot reach in, grab yourself by the hair, and raise yourself up out of the water. It's impossible. Folks, when are we going to realize that that's the way it is spiritually as well? We need to remember that our strength is in the Lord. Let's go back and read that verse again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to what? Stand. This is an important word for us today as we move to the next piece of armor. And having done all these things, to stand. Verse 14, first piece of armor that we've covered. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, there's not a period there. It's a comma. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's where we're going to stop today. Father, would you bless the reading of your word to our hearts? Our hearts to obedience to that word? For Father, we realize that when we are strong in you, it's all the difference. So help us today, Lord, to be strong and in the power of your might. Amen. We're talking today about the shoes of the gospel of peace. Now, I'm going to remind you that to live in spiritual victory, we must know our enemy's strategy. And the thing is that God tells us what it is. If you're ignorant, it's nobody's fault but your own. Read the Word of God. We must know the strategy of our enemy, and we must know how to use the armor of God and all the resources that God has given us. He's given us all these resources. I remember an old joke about a guy who said, well, I dreamed I went to heaven, and I got up to heaven, and God was showing me around heaven for the first time, and he took me into a huge warehouse that was the size of the Texas, and there were just shelves lined with all these shelves and bowls, and every bowl had a little name on it, and every shelf had a name on it. And I said, Lord, what is this? And he says, this is my warehouse of blessing. And I said, well, Lord, what are the names? He goes, well, that's the name of every person that is a child of mine. And on every name where there's a shelf where there's a name, there are these bowls of blessings. And he said, well, do I have a shelf? He goes, well, of course you have a shelf. He said, let me show you. He went over there and he showed him the shelf. And he said, well, this is your shelf from your life. And the man noticed, he said, all these blessings in a bowl that were still filled with the blessings that he didn't get while he was on earth. And he said, well, Lord, I'm hurt. Why didn't you give me all these blessings that are in the bowl? Why are they still in the bowl? And God looked at him and said, my child, you didn't ask for them. Friends, we've got to use the resources that God has given us. We need to ask and we need to use them. We need to apply them. We were talking about that with the breastplate of righteousness last week, that it's that we need the applied righteousness. So we understand this, using the resources God has given us. We must gird ourselves, remember, prepare ourselves with the belt of truth. And with the belt of truth, we resist Satan's attacks and his traps by being prepared with the gospel truth. God's truth guards us. Secondly, we've got to cover our thinking and our emotions with the breastplate of righteousness that covers our thinking and our feeling. We need the holy living. Holy living is our protection. That is, if you're going to have an example of what the breastplate of righteousness is, it's holy living. You put on holy living, and your holy living protects your thinking, and your holy living protects your feelings. Holiness, I believe, is a forgotten commodity. Amen? If you go look out in the world today, you don't see a lot of people promoting holiness. They'll promote a lot of self-indulgence, but not holiness. But if we don't live a life of obedience set apart for God, then we lose our fruitfulness, we lose our blessings, we lose our joy. And I believe this, that so many people that have problems are told, well, what you really need to do is go see a counselor and have so many sessions with a counselor, and they're going to help you get through all your troubles. No, what they need is time in the presence of God. What they really need is to stand before the Lord and let the Lord reveal to them where they have sin and in their life that needs to be confessed and resolved. And they need to stay in that session with the Lord until they get things right with God. And then when they do, they're going to see a real difference in their walk, real difference in their life. So those are the first two pieces of armor, the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth. So we come to the third piece, and it's right there in verse 15. We read it. We're going to read it again. It says in verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So let's talk about these shoes, or the preparation of these shoes of the gospel of peace. Now, what's the function of shoes? We know what the function of shoes are. They're to show off how much money we've got, right? Do you remember, and I don't know that it's that much different now, but I'm going to tell you, I learned a lot from Mitch because he was in retail at a sports store, and he talked about the different tennis shoes that some of these guys would come in and purchase for hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And it really was a status symbol here a number of years ago to be able to have a pair of Jordans. Anybody remember that? Three of us. Wow. Well, anyway, for those of you who don't remember Michael Jordan, if you had a pair of his shoes, man, you were uptown. You were the cat's meow. And people were killed over shoes like this. So the shoes became pretty much a status symbol in so many ways. They were a part of our culture and a status symbol. But back in that day, they didn't have Michael Jordans. And the main function of shoes was what? Protection for your feet. You know, we really don't need protection for our feet today. We've got so much pavement everywhere. About the only time we need shoes is when it's summertime so we don't scald our feet on the concrete. We've got grass in our yards. We've got carpet in our homes and in our church. So we really don't need much protections. But in that day, they had to walk over sharp stones and mud and dust and walk through thorny bushes. So they had a real need of protecting their feet. But we do understand the need for some specialty shoes today. Even with our shoes, they're different. We have different needs for different shoes, and we have them for every conceivable sport condition that could be. If you are climbing rocks, you need a particular kind of shoe. If you are playing tennis, you need a particular kind of shoe. And it depends on what kind of tennis you're playing. If you're playing on a clay court, if you're playing on a grass court, or if you're playing on a concrete court. There are different types of shoes for every court imaginable. Football, soccer, baseball. They all have the right type of shoe. And you can see literally how not having the right type of shoe could be debilitating to an athlete. Do you agree? Listen, you've seen the guy catch the football at the 3-yard line and he's going to run up the sideline. And what if he slips and falls, man, his run is over. Here, Paul is talking about the shoes of a Roman soldier. And there were particular needs of that soldier to have a particular type of shoe. And it's important for you to understand it, to understand what Paul says when your feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If you think the right shoe is important in sports, whoo, how much more important was it in war? In battle, one slip didn't mean you lost the game. It meant you lost your life. Now, the Roman soldier's shoe was a particular type of equipment that helped him in battle. The Roman soldier would not go into battle wearing a normal leather sandal or shoe because they had a slick bottom. And if he was in the mud or if he was on a rock, he would slip and he would slide. If he had to climb a rock to fight, he'd slip. So he needed special shoes to give him a good grip. And proper footwear could absolutely save a soldier's life. Can you kind of in your mind's eye see what we're talking about here? Can you? All right. So it not only was protection for his stability, it was also protection from the elements. A shoe had to last for long marches. The soldier would go a long way to march for battle. Do you remember that throughout history, many battles were lost because soldiers did not have adequate shoes? Read about the American Revolution, and Paul and George Washington could tell you, man, what a difference some good shoes could make. Amen? Read about that if you haven't read about that lately. What about in the world wars, the trench wars, Korea, Vietnam? Listen, there were guys that learned that by not having the right socks and shoes on their feet, they became debilitated to fight. It even moved up to Desert Storm with some very special shoes for the desert. Folks, shoes were important. Protection of your feet. And also not just protection from the elements, but protection from sabotage. Minefields in the day of the Roman soldier were common as well. And just like they did in Korea and in Vietnam, they would place very sharp sticks under the ground or in the brush or in the places that they couldn't see so that their feet would become injured and they couldn't walk. If you couldn't walk, you couldn't fight. So shoes were very, very important. And Paul describes the Roman soldier being able to stand in battle and able to hold his ground without slipping, without sliding, without falling. And the shoes were paramount. All of this to come back to say how important it is for you to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we make that transition. Christians, we need shoes too. You can be literally cinched up with the commitment of the truth. You can be covered with the breastplate of righteousness and not have a solid base to stand. You could fall and be vulnerable to every attack of the enemy if you don't have that solid base. You must, dear friend, as a Christian, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, that word preparation seems odd in that sentence, doesn't it? Well, just shod your feet with shoes, right? No, there is a preparation. There is a preparation of what? The gospel of peace. What does preparation mean? Literally, it just means to make ready. Or to be fully equipped. And Paul is saying, be ready, be fully equipped with the gospel of peace. Now, a lot of people might presume that he's saying this is preaching. And they may reach that interpretation because of another scripture that's found in Romans chapter 10 that has to do with feet and preaching. So when you understand this, a lot of people take this scripture and they say, oh, he's talking about preaching. He's talking about evangelizing because of this scripture. And it says this, it says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. It says beautiful. I would think Mitch was talking here. Mitch loves that word beautiful. I love that he loves that word beautiful. But it says, how beautiful are the what? How beautiful are the what? Feet. You ever seen any pretty feet? Here it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Listen, what this scripture is talking about is the feet of those who bring the gospel. And you might think, well, that's what he's talking about with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And yes, Romans 10:15 is talking about how the gospel needs to be preached. And yes, Romans 10:15 is saying that. But that's not what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 6. He's not talking about preaching. He's not talking about evangelizing. He's not even talking about going somewhere to preach and teach. The very first word in this sentence, go back to verse 14. If you've got your Bible, open it back to verse 14. Look at it. Verse 14. You got your Bible there? Anybody? What is the very first word of that sentence? Is it go? Is it preach? What is it? Stand. That's the very first word of this sentence. It goes back to verse 14 there. Stand ye therefore. That's the first word. Paul is not talking about going. He's talking about what? Standing. He's not talking about evangelizing or preaching. He's talking about fighting the devil. He's talking about being prepared for the attacks that are coming your way from all of these entities that he just talked about in the earlier part of this passage. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, do all this that you might be able to stand. Verse 13 says that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. These verses are not about going. They're not about traveling. They're about standing. They're about standing your ground. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 expresses it as well as I can say. It says there, stand fast in the faith. Stand how? Fast in the faith. Stand in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Stand. Hold your ground. Yes, the gospel needs to be preached. We all agree with that. And yes, my feet are beautiful because I preach. God says so. If you don't like it, see him. But that's not what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. This verse is referring to the conflict with Satan, with your conflict with Satan. Paul is saying, listen, he's saying, if your feet are shod with the gospel of peace, then you can stand your ground anytime you're attacked by Satan. Ever get attacked by Satan? Ever have a day you're not attacked by Satan? Sure, if you slept through the day. We are stabilized by the gospel of peace. We don't slip in our faith. We don't slide in our faith. We don't fall from our faith. The shoes of the gospel of peace make sure we stand. How? How? I love this part. This is my favorite part. Listen, Nathan could not have picked any better songs for today. Man, we sang those songs, and as I'm sitting over there and I'm thinking about the scripture that I'm preaching from, man, I just kept singing. I'm sorry for people who had to sit in front of me. I know I was belting it out, man. Those songs were just all over my heart. The God of angel armies is always on my side. Oh, folks, the scripture tells us that we don't slide because we have the gospel of peace. What is the gospel of peace? What is the gospel is what? The good news. What is the good news of peace? Listen, this is so important. This is so urgent because it is God's remedy for your problem. Now, wait a minute. Let me just stop there and make sure you understand what I'm saying. This is the answer. This is God's remedy for your problem. I want you to say it out loud if you can, if you don't mind too badly. I want you to say, this is the remedy for my problem. Let me hear you. For whose problem? And you can look right at me and say, and your problem to you, because it is the remedy for my problem. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 give us the basic picture of who man is, of who I am, and who you are. And you want me to tell you what it is? It's bad news. It is not good news. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the what? Ungodly. For we scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. The scripture tells us that we are not good. It says, man, somebody, it's tough to die for a righteous person. And what it was saying is, nobody wants to die for an unrighteous person. Think of the person who's treated you the most miserably in all your life. Do you want to go die for them? And yet Jesus did for me. Jesus did for you. You see, the scripture tells us there in Romans that we are enemies of God. You're, wait a minute, I'm not an enemy of God. Yes, you are. The scripture says we are unjust, we are unsaved, we are objects of God's wrath. I told you it was bad news. It is bad news. Take note. Listen to me, please. Listen, take note. God and sinful man are on two different sides. Don't let anybody fool you into thinking that just everybody is in God's family because God created them. I've heard people say, oh, God loves everybody. Yes, God loves everybody, but that's not his plan to get you into heaven just because he loves you. Because he loved you, he made a way for you to get there, and he's going to require you to fulfill it his way. Nahum chapter 1 verse 3 said, God will not acquit the guilty. He's not just going to overlook our sin. If a man is the enemy of God, he will feel, she will feel God's judgment. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 verse 30, he that is not with me is what? Against me, Jesus said. Revelation chapter 2, verse 16, Jesus said, I will come quickly, I will come to you quickly, and I will fight against them, I will fight against you with the sword of my mouth. How many of you want Jesus fighting against you? We just said he is our all in all, and if our all in all turns on us, we're in trouble. But there's good news. Oh, man, I don't ever talk about the bad news unless I'm going to get to the good news. Everybody go, whew. There's good news. There is good news. God did something to change the fact that I was his enemy. God did something to change it. Romans chapter 5 again, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Sin is God's enemy. And sinful man is God's enemy. But God said, I'm going to remedy that. I'm going to give you a chance to overcome that. I'm going to give you a chance to be redeemed. Verse 9 and 10 of Romans chapter 5 says, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Listen to what he's saying. He said, if as his enemy, we could be reconciled to God. Listen to this part. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. It doesn't just stop with being saved from destruction. It moves on to being fulfilled in full life with Christ. That's the good news. That's the good news. That's the good news. Y'all do better. That's the good news. I know I get silly every now and then, but listen, if you can't get silly happy over what Christ has done for you, something's wrong. The Lord Jesus has given us His very life to redeem us, to bring us beyond the enemy stage to being the child of God. The good news. And folks, that's the gospel of peace that we're talking about here. Have your feet shod, wrapped up tight with the gospel of peace, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I nearly forgot that very important word there. That's the gospel of peace. Romans 5 verse 1 says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have peace with God, whom we were enemies with. We can have peace with God. How? Through whom? Jesus Christ. Here's the peace. Here's the good news. You remember we were talking about being on opposite sides. We are no longer on opposite sides with God. We are brought together at the foot of the cross, and Jesus Christ redeems us to the Father. That is the good news. You know what that means? We're one with God. You know what that means? God is on our side. All those angel armies, all we have to do, we don't have to do anything ourselves. All we have to do is call on Abba, Daddy. When I was a kid, I grew up in a neighborhood that was filled with kids. And I know this is going to be hard to believe, but sometimes I had a pretty smart mouth. I know, hard to believe. And sometimes I'd get in trouble with the older kids. You know, they would push me around and I would say, you know, But boy, when my dad came out in the yard, I was like my old dachshund. I had a dachshund that just slept on the front porch, and when the deer would come around, he'd sit on the porch and whine and cry and bark at him. But when I came out the door, boy, he'd go after him. I was kind of like that dumb dachshund. My dad would come out in the yard, and I would get real smart with him. Not where Dad could hear me, but, you know, hey, yeah, you want to do something? Yeah. Well, how about we do that in a good way? When Satan taunts and Satan attacks and Satan wants to take you down, with Abba right behind us, amen? With the Father, with God, the Almighty, we know He is on our side. What a difference it makes when God is on our side. That means that a Christian can say, that means that a Christian can stand firm and say, Satan, it doesn't matter what you bring against me. God is on my side. I do not fear. I do not worry. You're going down. Knowing God is on my side helps me to stand. Are you with me? Knowing God is on my side helps me to stand firm in my faith. Does that make sense? Now listen, let me read this sentence to you one more time. Right here from the Word of God, in verse 15 it says, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the good news of peace. What's the good news of peace? God is on my side. The good news of peace is that I am redeemed by the Lord through the blood of Jesus Christ. I have to prepare my stance to stand in Christ, in His gospel, the good news of peace. And that lets me stand. That's how I stand. Let me illustrate this just a little bit. Recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, you may recall that Jesus had had the Lord's Supper with them, and they left the Lord's Supper, and they walked out, and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Are you with me? You know where we're at now? And it says that Jesus had gone a little ways from him. You remember he said, pray with me, stand with me and pray. And you recall that fiasco there with the disciples falling to sleep. Well, at some point there during that night, you recall that Judas came with the Roman army. And if you go back and look at John chapter 18, it says that Judas came with an attachment of officers and soldiers. That means there were several attachments. With every officer, there were soldiers. So there was probably at least 100, maybe a couple of hundred, of soldiers and officers. And it says that verse 3 in chapter 18 says, they came with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Did they come to play around? You see, they thought that the disciples were going to run. And they thought that they might have to search for them through the catacombs or through the hills. And so they came with a large attachment. They came with torches and lanterns and weapons. And what did they do? The one that was with Jesus came and Jesus said, whom do you seek? You remember? Whom do you seek? And the leader of the attachment said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I am He. Do you remember what happened when Jesus said, I am He? Anybody? It says like a bunch of stacked dominoes, all of these soldiers with their torches, with their lanterns, and with all their weapons just went. Pfft. Can you imagine? Do you ever set up a big thing of dominoes and just go? Pfft? At the name of Jesus, He said, I am He. Now, Peter's watching all this. Now, you remember Peter. He was the one who was slow to act, slow to speak. Oh, man. I hope that I'll take on the good qualities of Peter, not just his bad ones. Peter saw what had happened when Jesus Christ said, I am He. Whew. In verse 10, after Peter watched this entire attachment of soldiers collapse, it says Peter grabs his sword when they finally get up and they start coming for Jesus. And it says that he swings and he cuts off Malchus's ear. Do you remember that? Do you think that Peter was aiming for his ear? Come on. What happened? Malchus ducked. Cut his ear off. Jesus heals his ear and he corrects Peter and he says, Peter, we're not using swords today. But listen, what is it that got this man who was so shy about standing for Jesus in another time around a fire when there were no Roman soldiers standing around? What is it that got this man, Peter, so riled up that when an entire attachment of Roman soldiers was coming at him with lanterns and torches and weapons, he goes, bring it on! What was it? Listen, I'm going to tell you, Peter saw that number of soldiers wiped off and pushed down into a pile by the name of Jesus. And so what he's thinking is, man, I'm going to take after him. And if I get in trouble, all I have to do is say, stick him, Jesus. Now, he was not wrong. He was wrong in what he did to take up the sword, but he was not wrong in his thinking. All he had to do is call on Jesus to say, whenever the enemy attacks us and is coming up at us in full force, and we know we can't handle it, what we need to do is do what? Sick him, Jesus. Why? Because God is on our side. God is on your side. Peter was just thinking, man, if I have any trouble, I know what to do. I'm calling on Him. He sensed that nothing could defeat him. Why? Because he had seen the power of Jesus Christ on display. That's why he took his sword to defend the Lord. He knew Christ was on his side. Gideon learned that with God, amen, when he was told, oh no, you've sent those thousands of soldiers away. I'm going to show you how to defeat an army with 300 with nothing but candles and a pot. Peter learned it. John learned it. Paul learned it. When we stand in the power of Jesus Christ, that's when we can tell Satan, whatever you throw against me will not stand against me. I have no fear because God is on my side. That's the good news of the gospel of peace. And that is that I am not an enemy of God anymore. He's on my side because of his son, Jesus Christ. He's on my side because of his spilt blood. He's on my side because of my faith in him, and only because of my faith in him. No matter what Satan brings against me, no matter what he brings, I can be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. I can be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. Whose might? God's might. That's the confidence we have to stand in Christ. That's the confidence we have to stand firm. When your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, to know that nothing is more powerful than the one you stand in. Wrap your feet up in the protection of the Lord Jesus. Stand firm no matter what Satan brings, because God is on your side. And like that old preacher said, if that don't light your fire, your wood's all wet. Amen. Pray with me, won't you? God, we thank you that you are on our side. And all God's people said, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can be prepared in the gospel of peace. Your peace, the truth, Lord, that you are on our side. God, help us to dress properly. Oh, how we need it. We need your truth, Lord, to cinch us up. We need the righteousness to cover our thoughts and our feelings. And we need the reminders that we are bound up in the salvation of Jesus. That we are no longer your enemy, but we are on your side. And you, God, are on ours. Father, when Satan attacks, help us to stand firm. It is in Jesus' name that we pray.